Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 4th of December, 2017. We are still in the book of 2 Chronicles, and will be all this week and next week, and then we will be done with the Old Testament. I have Wednesday and Friday, Monday, Wednesday and Friday, and that'll wrap it up. Then I will begin in the book of Jasher. In the Hebrew, it is Yashar, the book of the upright, Sefer Yashar. And it's going to be really interesting. I'm going to be in it a while. A lot of comments. I have really gone through it. It was published in 1840. Out of all the compilations and the fragments and all the stuff that they found, it's mentioned in regular scripture. Won't they be found in the book of Yashar, the book of the upright? A lot of stuff has been suppressed, okay, by the quote-unquote powers that be, because it debunks their doctrine that they've been pushing on people. And they really don't like that. So let's get into chapter 20 of the book of 2 Chronicles. This is about a battle with Moab and Ammon. These were incestuous relations to Israel, and they were considered unclean because they were children of incest. Let's get started. Verse 1. It came to be after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them beside the Ammonim, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now they had brought other foreigners in. Verse 2. Okay, I'll do some explanation at the end of the verse. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea. Now, here the sea is referring to the Dead Sea. We don't know what it was like at that time. That was called the Sea of Salt. On this side of Aram. And behold, they are in Katzetzon, Tamar, which is Ein Gedi. Okay, and Ein Gedi lies on the western shore of the Dead Sea, about 25 miles from Yerushalayim. Verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set his face to seek Yahweh and proclaimed a fast throughout all Yehuda. Okay. Verse 4. And Yehuda gathered themselves together to ask of Yahweh. Even from all the cities of Yehuda, they came to seek Yahweh. That's a godly thing. That's a good thing. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Yehuda and Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh before the new courtyard. He stood with all the people. Verse 6, and said, O Yahweh, Elohe, our fathers. That means God of our fathers. Are not you Elohim in the sky? And rule you not over all the kingdom of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to stand against you? He's declaring the attributes of Yahweh, that he's all powerful. Verse 7, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8, and the book of James, chapter 2, verse 23. Are you not our Elohim? Or Elohev, that means our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the face of your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants or seed line, either way you want to read it, of Abraham, your friend forever. Verse 8. And they dwelt in it and have built you a sanctuary therein for your name, saying, verse 9, if evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in this house. Pardon me, I have to clear my throat. When I get talking, sometimes I have just a little residual cough. Ah, that feels better, and it isn't hurting like it used to when I have to cough. For your name is in this house, and cry out unto you in our distress, then you will hear and help. 3, 4, 6, 7. Help. Now, verse 10 is referenced in Deuteronomy 2, verses 4 through 19. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab, and the hill country of Seir, whom you would not let Israel come into, when they came out of the land of Mitzrayim, but they turned from upon them and destroyed them not. So the Edomites were going to come against them too. Verse 11. Behold, they recompense to us to come to cast us out of your possession. That's 3, 4, 2, 5, possession, which you have given us to inherit. Verse 12. Oh, Elohe, that means, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no strength in the presence of this great multitude that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on you. Ah, yes, sir. He was praying directly to Yahweh. Our eyes are on you. We trust in you. You can save us. We can't save ourselves. Humbling themselves. Verse 13. And all Yehuda stood before Yahweh with their little ones, their wives, and their children. 14. Then upon Yakaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Yael, the son of Mattaniah, a Lewi of the sons of Asaph. He was the chief musician for King David. Came the Spirit of Yahweh in the midst of the congregation. All right, now here we are at verse 15. And verses 15, 16, and 17, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. And he said, listen, all Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus saith Yahweh unto you. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by or from the presence of this great multitude. Now listen to this carefully. For the battle is not yours, but Elohim's. Now think on that. What's going to happen when we have to go against all these forces in the near future that are arrayed against us? And it says clearly in Scripture, if Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? As it was then, it is now. He hasn't lost any power. He's still a creator of all the universe. He's still our divine deity, the deity of Israel. He hasn't become feeble over the years. He's not a man. He's still all-powerful. But he wants to see what we are going to do, and are we going to trust in him? Okay, verse 16. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Zitz. Now, it has Ziz in the King James 6732, but it's T-S-I-Y-T-S. Zits. And you shall find them at the end of the wadi before the wilderness of Yeruel. Verse 17, pay attention here. You shall not need to fight in this. Present yourselves. Stand you and see the salvation of Yahweh with you, O Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, or out before them, for Yahweh will be with you. And you can reference Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. That's pretty awesome. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his nose to the ground. Actually, it would be prostrated himself with his nose to the ground. They have face in the King James, but it's number 639. That is nose. And all Yehuda and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim fell before Yahweh, prostrating, that's number 7812, to Yahweh. Fell to the ground and prostrated themselves. All of them. Verse 19. And the Levium of the children of the Kohathi, that's the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korki, that's the Korhites, stood up to praise Yahweh, Elohe Israel, with a great voice on high. Those were the singers. And they sang praises. Oh, that just sends chills down my spine. It's tremendous. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Yehuda, and you inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Believe or trust, okay? That's number 539. In Yahweh, your Elohim, so shall you be established. And it's the same word, 539. Believe his prophets. Again, believe, 539. His prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yahweh, they should praise the majesty of holiness. Now you're going to notice difference between what I read and what's in the King James, because I have corrected the word according to the Hebrew where it needs correction. As they went out before, the men equipped for war. It says the army. That's 2502, but it's men equipped for war. And to say, praise Yahweh for his loving kindness is forever. Okay, that's 2:6:17, loving kindness. Verse 22, and at that time when they began joyful singing at 74:40, and to praise Yahweh, and to, well, pardon me, I missed a comma, so I read it wrong. At that time when they began joyful singing and to praise, comma, Yahweh set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Those are the Edomites that joined with the other abominations, which were come against Yehuda, and they were smitten. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the hill country of Seir, utterly to exterminate and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. They attacked the Edomites that were with them. Yahweh made them do that. That's what's coming again. All these forces, and we're worried about all these. Oh man, they've got drones, and they've got this, and they've got that, and they've got machine guns, and they've got blah 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 blah. And they'll kill each other. Yahweh won't make. You can't fight Yahweh, and He won't let His remnant be harmed. Trust in Him. Now, He's going to have us fight, too. We're not going to just sit back on our butt. And we don't know when this is going to come. It may come and occur when the Messiah comes, or we may open the battle here. We're His battle axe and weapons of war. And if He gives us a sign, well, look out. It's coming. I see you. Wouldn't want to be you. It's, ooh. So we don't know what Yahweh's got planned. He's not telling us. Yet. Yet. Verse 24. And when Yehuda came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the ground, and none escaped. Killed them all. What is He going to do against the forces against us? That's what I keep telling you. You don't mess with Yahweh. He is going to open up a whole can of His wrath on these people. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to plunder the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both booty with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, for it was so much. Verse 26. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. Now that means blessing in Hebrew. For there they blessed Yahweh. That's 1:2:8:8 for blessed Yahweh. And 1:2:9:4 for Baraka. Okay, very similar. Same root. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. That's the Valley of Blessing. Verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Yehuda and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat, in the head of them to return to Jerusalem with joy. For Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their hated enemies. Now that's number 341, which has racial and tribal connotations as opposed to hate, just plain hate. There's another word for hate, but this is number 341, hated enemies. Verse 28, and they came to Jerusalem with lyres and harps and trumpets unto the house of Yahweh. Verse 29, and the fear of Elohim was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that Yahweh fought against the hated enemies of Israel. They will fear him again. They don't now, but they will when he opens his wrath on them. Never fear. Never fear. Trust in Yahweh. Verse 30. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his Elohim gave him rest round about. Okay. This is the summer. This verse 31 starts a summary of Jehoshaphat's reign. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Yehuda. He was 35 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilki. And here's an important passage, verse 32. And he walked in the way of Asa his father, and departed not from it, doing righteousness in the sight, doing upright, 3477. That's Yashar. In the sight of Yahweh. That's what I'm talking about. When I get done with this, I'll be doing the book Sefer Yashar, the book of the upright. And he walked doing uprightly in the sight of Yahweh. Verse 33. Howbeit, the high places were not taken away. Those are pagan worship. For as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the Elohe of their forefathers, the God of their forefathers. He was righteous and doing some good stuff, but the people weren't quite right. Verse 34. Now the rest, of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the words of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. That would be 1st and 2nd Kings. Verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. We have no fellowship with unrighteousness, okay? Shouldn't have done that, but he did. Verse 36, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Etzion Geber. Verse 37, then Eliezer, the son of Dodawahu of Maresha prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because you have joined yourself with Ahaziahu, what did I just say? Yahweh has broken your works. And the ships were broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. You're not to have fellowship with evil. Shouldn't have done that. They were going in a joint venture. Well, Yahweh didn't want anybody messing with that apostate king. Okay. Now we start chapter 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his forefathers and was buried with his forefathers in the city of Dawood, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Verse 2, and he had brothers, the son of Jehoshaphat, the sons, plural, of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, and Yechiel, and Zechariahu, and Azariahu, and Mikael, and Shephatiahu. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father had given them many gifts of silver and of gold and precious things with fortified cities in Yehuda. But the kingdom he gave to Jehoram because he was firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and also of the officers of Israel. Man. Verse 5. And Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Now listen to this, verse 6. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like in apostasy. Like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he did evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Now pardon me for just a second. Oh, my nose was tickling me. And he just didn't learn a lesson. He did evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Mm-mm-mm. Opposite what his father did. Verse 7. And you can reference 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 36. However, Yahweh would not destroy the house of Dawood because of the covenant that he had made with Dawood. And as he had said, to give a lamp to him and to his sons all the days. Okay. All the days. Now they have all time for all forever in the King James, but it means all the days. It's number 3605 Kol, and then 3117 Yomim. All the days. Verse 8. You can reference Genesis 27, verse 40. In his days, the Edomi revolted from under the hand of Yehuda and made themselves a king. Verse 9. Then Jehoram went forth with his officers and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomi which surrounded him and the officers of the chariots. Verse 10. So the Edomi revolted from under the hand of Yehuda unto this day. Well, they're still, the Edomites are still revolting. How revolting they are. A little humor there. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken Yahweh, Elohe, his forefathers. Verse 11. This guy's bad. Moreover, he made high places, that's for pagan worship, in the mountains or the hills of Yehuda, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, that's with other gods, and compelled Yehuda, in other words, to do the same. Verse 12, and there came a writing to him from Eliyahu the prophet, saying, thus says Yahweh, Elohe, David, your forefather, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Yehuda, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and they were all apostates, and had made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, that means worship alien gods, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain your brothers of your father's house that are better than you. Behold, a great plague will Yahweh smite your people and your children and your wives and all your possessions. Verse 15, and you shall have great sickness by disease of your intestines, that's 4, 5, 7, 8, until your intestines fall out by reason of the sickness day unto day. Ooh. That's ugly. In other words, he'd burst open and his guts would fall out. Verse 16. Moreover, Yahweh stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Pelishtim, that's the Philistine, and of the Arabi, that's the Arabians, that were near the Cushim. That's Hebrew Cush. Verse 17. And they came up into Yehuda and broke into it and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. Verse 18, and after all this, Yahweh smote him in his intestines with a not healing disease, and they have incurable, which would be, in English, pretty accurate. Not healing. Because it's low, whatever it is. It's two words. And it came to be that in the process of time, after the end, in other words, time going out ended, of 2 years, his intestines fell out by reasons of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning of incense or spices for him, like the burning of his forefathers. In other words, they didn't honor him. Verse 20, 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the king. He didn't even get a king's burial. Okay, now we're going to start chapter 22. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Akaziahu, the youngest son, king in his stead, for the band of men, that's 1416, that came with the Arabim, that's the Arabians, to the camp, had slain all the eldest. So Akaziahu, the son of Jehoram, king of Yehuda, reigned. 42 years old was Akaziahu when he began to reign. All right. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Ataliah, the daughter of Omri. Okay. Ataliah was the daughter of Achab and Jezebel, who was given to Jehoram to marry in an alliance with Jehoshaphat, king of Yehuda. And you can see their notes on 2 Chronicles 18:1. So they had mingled apostasy and a good king. Listen to this, verse 3. He also walked in the ways of the house of Achab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. So he did evil in the sight of Yahweh, like the house of Achab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. Verse 5 and 6, you can reference 2 Kings, chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. He walked after their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Achab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Aram. Now we had Jehoram, it's also can be spelled Joram. There's two people named this. One was king over Israel, the 10 northern tribes. One was king over Israel and Benjamin, the southern part. Two guys with the same name at the same time. So that's confusing. They went against Hazael, the king of Aram, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Aramees smote Joram. And Joram and Jehoram are the same guy. Two different spellings of the same name. Verse 6, and returned to be healed in Israel because of the wounds which were smitten him at Ramah when he fought with Hazael, king of Aram. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Yehuda, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Achab, as Yisrael, because he was sick, in other words, wounded. Well, Azariah is another name for Akaziahu. Number 274. It's 5838 and 274 are the same guy. Verse 7. And the destruction of Akaziahu was from Elohim by coming to Yoram. For when he was come, he went out with Yaoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom Yahweh had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. He had fixed this up to kill these people. Okay? Verse 8, and it came to be that when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab and found the officers of Yehuda and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. Verse 9, and he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him, because he was hid in Shomeron, that's Samaria, and brought him to Jehu, and when they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought Yahweh with all his heart. They honored his father, but not him. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to retain the kingdom. So here we are. Now listen to this. You can reference 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the descendants royal, or seed line, or royal seed line, of the house of Yehuda. But Yehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, that's number 3101, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So hid Yehoshabeath, the daughter of King Yehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, and hid him from the presence of Athaliah, so that she did not slay him. She slew him not. And he was with them, hidden in the house of Elohim 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. And that ends chapter 22. Okay. On Wednesday, I will start in chapter 23. We don't have the time today, but I will be starting in chapter 23, and I will do 23, 24, and 25 on Wednesday. All of my shows, both Wake Up Call and all of my Word for Word shows from start till now, can be found on my website. That's https, it's a secure site, :// www.wordforword.com Pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, hyphen, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. Now, it's not an interactive site. You can download stuff, or you can listen to it there. You can look at stuff, but there's no postings. So I don't have to worry about deleting trolls and stupid hackers and silly stuff. It is a teaching site only. So you can look at all the stuff and download it and enjoy yourself that way. I have links to all the two Seed Line websites. I mean, I got everybody on there. Pastor Dan and just Pastor Eli and just everybody. I mean, I got the whole nine yards to make it easy for you to find their sites. And everything is on there. So you can download it or listen to it there. Sometimes I post in advance before the actual date when it's going to be published here, because it's just easier. If I get three or four shows, it's easier for me just to put them on there and then keep recording. I'm trying to get ahead on recording here. I'm starting on another week because I have more medical procedures coming up, lab work, etc., etc., etc. And when I have a good day, when I'm feeling strong and everything's clear, not coughing or anything, I need to get ahead because I'm still in healing process from that heart attack. So that's cool. I will be outlining over the next couple of weeks. I'll be getting my book of Jasher ready to start in and outlining what chapters I will be doing when and putting all my bookmarks in there and the whole bit. It'll be a while. I'll be into the new year into 2018 with the book of Jasher. And then I'll probably do the book of Enoch and the book of Jubilees and go through some of the Apocrypha, other apocryphal books. They are very important because they give information between the testaments, so to speak, and lots of information. That's the main thing, is information. And then in 2018, I will be starting in the New Covenant, and I need to really do some homework over the winter before I do that. Bone up on my Greek a little bit. I've let it slide for a while, being into the Hebrew so heavy. But the New Covenant was originally written in Hebrew, so I'll be giving notes on that as well. It's going to be very interesting because my take on the New Covenant is going to be pretty intense. I'll be delving into things chapter by chapter and verse by verse, as I have with the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. There's nothing better that I like to do than the Word. Just really... I just love it, and I know there's a lot of other people out there that really follow this show, and they love it too. It has a great place in their heart, and it benefits them and blesses them for sure. That's what the Word is for. That's what it's intended to do. So there we go. There is a new schedule thing. We have 57 minutes. Now, a lot of my old shows ran over, and some of the stuff is a little cut off. So if you want to get the whole show, you can download it off my website. but we're doing 57 minutes now for a 3-minute station ID here at EFR. So if you wonder why some of the shows get cut a little bit, it's because they run over. There's a 3-minute break, which is automatic because people have to go down the hall or get a sandwich or get a cup of coffee or a soda or whatever. And it's just an ongoing effort to make EFR better. So I'm going to say Shalom Aleichem to all of you now. That's peace be with you. It's been a distinct pleasure. And I will catch you again on Wednesday with a new show, beginning with 2 Chronicles 23. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.